Royalty in Ruin, Chapter 18, The Healing of the Waters. After crossing the Jordan, the people of Israel had camped in the Jordan Valley, rich with fields of grain and forests of fruit-bearing trees. Before them had stood Jericho, the center of the worship of Ashtoreth, the most immoral of all the Canaanite forms of idolatry. Soon its walls were thrown down, and at the time of its fall, Joshua made the solemn declaration. Cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates. Joshua chapter 6, verse 26. 5 centuries passed. The spot lay in ruins, cursed by God. Even the springs suffered the terrible effects of the curse. But when Jezebel's influence revived the worship of Ashtoreth, Jericho, the ancient seat of this worship, was rebuilt, but at a fearful cost to the builder. Hiel, the Bethelite, laid its foundation with Abiram, his firstborn, and with his youngest son Segub, he set up its gates, according to the word of the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 34. Not far from Jericho was one of the schools of the prophets, and here Elisha went after Elijah was taken to heaven. While he stayed among them, the men of the city came to him and said, "The situation of this city is pleasant, as my lord sees, but the water is bad and the ground barren. The spring that had been pure and life-giving was now unfit to use." In response, Elisha said, "Bring me a new bowl and put salt in it." When he received this, he went out to the source of the water and cast in the salt there and said, "Thus says the Lord, I have healed this water. From it there shall be no more death or barrenness." 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 19 and 21. God's miraculous intervention was what healed the waters of Jericho. Through this token of compassion, he who makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust, saw fit to reveal his willingness to heal Israel of their spiritual ills. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45. The restoration was permanent. Through the ages, the waters have flowed on, making that portion of the valley an oasis of beauty. The Lord still heals the bitter springs. In casting salt into the bitter spring, Elisha taught the same spiritual lesson that the Savior gave centuries later when he declared, "You are the salt of the earth." Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Salt, mingling with the polluted spring, purified its waters. When God compares his children to salt, he is teaching them that he wants them to become agents in saving others, that through them the world may receive the grace that brings salvation. The world needs to see genuine, sincere Christianity. The poison of sin is at work at the heart of society. Cities and towns are deep in moral corruption, suffering, and evil. People in poverty and distress are weighed down with guilt and are dying for lack of a saving influence. The gospel of truth is kept before them, yet they die because those who should be a fragrance of life to them are a stench of death. Their souls drink in bitterness because the springs are poisoned. Salt must be mingled with the substance to which it is added. It must penetrate and infuse it so that the food may be preserved. Similarly, the saving power of the gospel reaches the people through personal association. Personal influence is a power to work with the influence of Christ, to lift where Christ lifts, to instill correct principles, and to halt the progress of the world's corruption. This influence is to uplift, to sweeten the lives of others by uniting a pure example with faith and love. The polluted stream at Jericho represents the life of those who are apart from God. Sin destroys in the human soul both the desire and the ability to know God. The whole human organism is deranged, the mind perverted, the imagination corrupted. For lack of moral force to overcome, the life is debased. But to the heart that God has purified, all is changed. The Spirit of God produces a new life in the soul, bringing the thoughts and desires into obedience to the will of Christ, and renewing the inward being in the image of God. Weak and erring men and women show to the world that the redeeming power of grace can change a faulty character to one that is well-developed and fruitful. The heart that receives the word of God is not like a broken water bottle that loses its treasure. It is like the mountain stream, fed by unfailing springs, whose sparkling waters refresh the weary, the thirsty, the heavily burdened. It is like a river that constantly flows, and as it advances, becomes deeper and wider, until its life-giving waters spread over all the earth. The stream leaves its gift of fruitfulness behind it. When the earth lies bare and brown under summer's scorching heat, a line of green marks the river's course. This is how it is with the true child of God. When we open our hearts to the heavenly influence of truth and love, these principles will flow out like streams in the desert, making things fruitful where now they are barren and dry. Those who have been cleansed through a knowledge of Bible truth will drink every day from the inexhaustible fountain of grace and knowledge. They will find that their own hearts are filled to overflowing with the Spirit of their Master. And through their unselfish ministry, many will benefit physically, mentally, and spiritually. The weary are refreshed, the sick restored to health, and the sin-burdened relieved. Give, and it will be given to you, for the Word of God is a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 15.